Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Hover. Register a domain name with Hover and build your online brand today. Go to hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. And by LegalZoom. It's National Small Business Month, so go to LegalZoom.com/startup to download your free business startup kit today. And for special savings, enter AAA at checkout. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 360, recorded on Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Woohoo!
Hi!
That's my Florence Ion
hands.
There it is.
How's it going, y'all?
I'm a little hopped up on sugar from the pre-show Oreo tasting, which you can watch after the show if you're watching the recorded version.
Yes.
Those are some good Oreos.
Yeah, they were good, and we're in sync this time, which is different.
We are in sync, which is nice to celebrate the OG3. We got no guests tonight, right? It's just us.
That's right. It's just slim and trim, down to the essential core of the show. Is that the right way to put it, would you say? We're the core of the show, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And then sometimes we branch out. But this week we've got some, very pressing things that I think we need to all, just the three of us, weigh in on.
Yes.
Pressing matters.
I'm just rolling my eyes because once we get past the news bumper, we'll talk exactly about why I just rolled my eyes, which is the fact that
I'm curious.
Well, Google loves to launch things the day after All About Android.
True.
It's a historical note.
It is. It's a precedence that Google has set. Google likes to troll us specifically. They're totally doing it to us specifically.
They know. They said that podcast that thinks they're our friend.
Yes. They're always saying they're our friends, and every time they do, we roll our eyes at them. This week, we're going to be discussing all of the details of Android P developer preview. I think that's what Flo was talking about. We've also got Broadcom's failed acquisition of Qualcomm. Assistant routines are now rolling out, apparently. Ron, you'll be proud of me. I've spent some time with Bluetooth earphones, and I'm going to compare a couple of them here on the show.
Ooh.
And how they work with Android. It's like I'm testing the waters, so to speak.
I'm very curious to hear what that sounds like.
We're going to check sounds in like. On, well, what's that?
Sounds like. What that sounds like.
Air quotes. Well, you won't be able to check that out for yourself unless you actually get these headphones and put them in your ears, but they sound pretty good. And then also, what's in our feed? A random segment idea that we came up with on the fly weeks ago.
It's happening. It's going to be interesting.
I don't think any of us have none of us have taken a peek, right? We don't know what's in our
feed. No, I'm worried, but no peeks.
The last time I looked at my feed was this morning on my commute, and then I'm like, okay, I can't look at it all day because I didn't want to swipe anything away. Yeah. It's going to be completely raw, unfiltered access to my feed.
You didn't want to pre-prepare your explanation as to why that's in there. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And we're gonna patch into my phone live, so I can't filter it even if there's any embarrassing articles or anything. So
that's right.
I'm very excited about this. Live here on All About Android.
When we find out that Ron has actually been searching Kim Kardashian, we'll know it live on the show.
Well, I also worry because I allow the Daily Mail as a source on my readers, so dun, Lord knows dun, what dun. Headline they're going to put in there.
Yeah.
Because the Daily Mail is trash.
Yeah, we'll find out.
It's super trash.
It's trash.
We'll find out. But before any of that happens, Victor, it's time for the news.
If Android news was chocolate, I'm sure Flo would say the difference between regular news and Android news is
That was, I mean, it was a worthy cookie.
It was. You know what else is worthy? I think, amount of time with it.
We don't know if it's worthy yet because we don't actually have a name for it. So how do we know what delicacy it is?
I guess where I was going is the OS itself is pretty worthy. You're right. We don't know what Android P stands for.
We might find out, though.
Maybe. I think we kind of leveled our predictions on the show that tomorrow was going to be the day that we were going to see the release.
Today is the 13th. That's right. Which would have made tomorrow the 14th, which would have made it Pi Day, which would have made it the day that we were hoping that Android P would be, given to developers.
And it also would have meant that Google still preempted us by announcing it a day later than the show, which is what they actually still did last week on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. So, we can't
win. That's sooner than we anticipated. Is this the soonest we've received it in the last couple of years?
I want to say that, yes, it is. I can't remember the exact date last year, but I don't think it was this early in March.
I wonder if it's because, maybe this is a good way to segue into the features, but I wonder if it's because the features are not as drastic. I could also be wrong.
Let's see. March 9th, by the way, was the alpha test version of Nougat.
Okay. And this
9th, today's the 13th.
Earlier.
This was the
7 days ago.
Oh, my tabs are all out of order. Yeah.
March 6th.
What about basic math?
March 6th.
Okay, 6th. There we go. Okay, so 3 days earlier. Okay.
So technically the earliest
that we've gotten this. Yeah, by a couple of days.
Yeah, which I guess puts it right around the mark then.
Okay, so Pi Day didn't happen. We don't know for sure that Android P is not Pi, but it's certainly not yet. And so last Wednesday, they kind of started releasing it out. They're doing it a little different this time. It's not accessible through the standard beta channel. So you can't opt into the beta channel and have it installed magically on your phone easily. You have to actually go through the SDK and sideload it with ADB tools, which I did last night, which took me way too long because I don't do it very often anymore.
I wonder why they... Is it because... I wonder if it has to do with just keeping people from opting in and because, Pixel's supposed to be like... phone for everybody, so keeping people from opting in to sort of prevent crashes and
I'm sure
and
there's
annoying
a,
user
a component
reports.
Of that. Yeah, I mean, I flashed it last night, went through the process.
Was that fun? Did you miss it? Did it give
I
you
didn't
some
miss
nostalgia?
It at all because I thought it was going to be really easy, and I actually there was enough different in the process because I have a Pixel 2 XL and you have to do this other thing. It took me a while to figure out why I needed to do certain things basically. So it took me far longer than I expected to. I stayed up later than I wanted to. I wanted sleep, Google. When I decided at 10 p.m. to flash on a whim.
When you're like, it's 10:30. I can start this project now.
I'm and then good the enough thing, at this. Yeah.
Yeah. Next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. and you're like, I'm dead tomorrow.
And it's We've not like I'm doing there. It on a dummy phone. This is my device. Yeah. Like, this
Your
is my phone.
Driver. Good. Yeah.
So I'm taking one for the team, as I usually do, I think, in these early beta kind of flashes. So new features. What do we have? I mean, it's a huge list, actually. And doing the show 6 days after the announcement is actually good because there have been a lot of extra discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
There were like the standard things that Google showed off that you saw easily in pictures when it was first announced. But now we've heard a lot of other things.
It's always a fragment of the story.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got Android P on the device right now. This is your home screen. You'll notice as you kind of look at things a little bit, the notification panel is a lot more of a stark white delivery. The cards aspect of things is way more pronounced. There's no transparency in here.
Look at those rounded corners.
Yep, you got the rounded corners on my right
is
Flo's Pixel running Oreo. So O and P. And yeah, I mean, some people are criticizing what they're seeing in P because it reminds them of things you see in things like TouchWiz. You know, it's getting a little bit more bubbly.
What is the bubbles? Yeah. I really like the old method. I like the one on my phone currently now.
Really?
I do.
I'm down with this.
I'm resistant to change.
I like it.
But it's so iOS-y.
Well, so
it looks like the control iOS control center or whatever it's called.
It does.
I'll see if I can tweak my hand up.
I was trying to put my finger on what that was, and I was like, "Yeah, that's exactly what it is," and that's not good.
So, oh man, it's so hard to
hold.
Does
it have to be
blue? Here, I'll hand that back to you because my hand.
Here, I'll bring it up if it's important.
All right, so you can kind of see the quick settings. Instead of swiping to the side, it's actually
a
vertical.
Does it not have slider? Oh, it does. Okay, up there.
You got a little alarm quick settings down there. Up at the top, you can see that it's a little bit trimmer. Thankfully, well, I don't know. Does that date stay there? No, it doesn't. It's only when you have the notification pulled down. But the clock's on the left, no longer on the right. We had heard that that might be happening.
If
my phone had a notch, it would probably be right in the middle there.
Well, now they have the notch-friendly designs in B.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Natively supports display cutouts, whatever those may be it notch or any other thing, multi-display.
But why do they have to move the time? I spent all these years looking at the time on the right. Ever since the first Android phone I picked up.
I mean, but again, I will say in my day of using it, I actually really like it over there because it's on its own.
Okay.
So when I want to look at the time, it's the only thing over there, unless I have some notifications. But this side was just getting filled with stuff.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now.
That's going to be weird, though, because I feel like the natural, you know, the drift to the right for whatever reason. It's going to take some training to look to the left at a time.
Yeah. 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 We won't go into my feed because I don't want to spoil that. I think that looks about the same.
Does it look different?
Well, I don't know because I didn't go over there.
Okay, we'll look at it later.
You get little bouncy things. Maybe you see.
Oh, I see. Little UI changes there.
I can't remember if that was in the other Pixel launcher or not.
I'll check while you're talking.
But it looks kind of cool when you do it really fast. What else is there?
Oh, yeah, that was there already.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Well, check it out again.
It's a nice bounce.
If I hold down the power, you get a new kind of power drop down here. I mean, somewhat similar.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Screenshot. Okay, so if I take a screenshot, I get this.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? And then I have the ability to edit it.
Yay!
There's a built-in editor for your screenshots. So it pulls this up. It gives you your screenshot. You can do things like crop and circle
stuff. Oh, thank goodness. I don't have to open it in photos. And
there you go. And it saves it. Yeah, go ahead and allow whatever.
Oh, it's called Markup.
So that's an app called Markup. So it's not specifically for screenshots, but it's leveraging the ease of pulling screenshots in for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and editing them. Cool. And then you can share just that portion or whatever instead of the whole thing or download another app in order to do it.
Can you press the power button again?
Yep.
I like Enter Lockdown.
Yeah, do you know what that is?
Sounds like a Stallone movie.
Over the top. Yeah. So Lockdown is an extra setting in your security settings. You have to activate it in order to see this on your power menu. And basically what it is when I touch that, it temporarily disables the fingerprint sensor. So, you know, from a security standpoint, there's all this hubbub about like, well, they can, you know, if you need to give your phone over to someone,
or
they can force
the
you to use your fingerprint.
Or I'm in the car. Oh, wait, this removes fingerprint.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I had to hand my phone over to someone, I didn't want them to have access capabilities through my fingerprint, the thing I have, which you can be compelled to use in order to unlock a phone, I could enter Lockdown. And now the only way to get in is a PIN code. It removes the ability of the fingerprint on the back to open or unlock the phone until you undo it. And now I'm going to go ahead and
like super lock mode.
Put in my password. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
All right.
There we go. And then I'm back in and we're all good. Okay. Volume.
Yeah.
Stuff. So you'll notice it's a little bit different here. One of the changes that they made is that the volume rocker now by default controls your media volume all the time. It doesn't control your ringer volume. The reality is, how often do we change our ringer volumes? Not very often. How often do we have to like make an adjustment because we're about to tap on a link and something's going to play really loud and we got to go through the convoluted thing to like turn down the media thing? Now your volume rocker adjusts that by default. or you can mute it. You just go like
that's
that.
That's a good change.
Finally, it has happened to us.
Right in front of our face. And then, of course, this is a way of, you know, muting all that kind of stuff. There is an expanded volume thing, wow. But as you can see, it's not giving me anything. So it's a little buggy on my phone.
Oh, I think no device is found. I wonder if you're paired or if you are.
I bet you if I had a Bluetooth thing connected.
Or if you had a dongle connected through the an aux.
Yeah, so I bet, yeah, you're right. That's probably what it would be. If I go into settings, by the way,
shows up there too.
It looks all a little different. Definitely looks more TouchWiz, right?
This is Samsung.
Yeah, this is very Samsung. Look and feel as far as the.
I'm not excited.
Why?
Let's see here. I'm gonna go into where is it? There it is. No, I'm already a developer. How do I get the thing up? I want to get the... Oh, there we go.
Or are you tapping?
I'm trying to...
Unlock it?
Oh, that's right. So tap the P. Okay, there you go. Had to show the Easter egg.
Wow.
Oh,
Austin
cool.
Powers vibe. Full
there
on.
There you go.
Behave.
I don't know if there's any interactivity on it. I don't think that there is. But yeah, it kind of has a... Like a... Michael, who's a guest in the studio. What were you saying? Peppermint? Peppermint has a peppermint quality, and it does different kind of color schemes and everything too.
I forgot about peppermint.
I know that's a great idea.
Whoa! Peppermint. Imagine all the marketing around that.
Yeah,
the
that's
colors.
A good point.
And what if it comes? Yeah. And if it comes out around Christmas time?
Good one.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll be Q3 when it comes out. But anyways, I like that idea. Oh, see, and it keeps morphing. It's really trippy, dude.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, does this mean the D-Light groove is in the heart?
Yes.
That's the Android marketing. I found it for you right there.
with the slide whistle.
Yeah.
Call me Google. I have some ideas for this marketing campaign.
Android P is on your phone.
Exactly.
Sorry. Okay, so I don't know. You guys had a chance to kind of look through anything?
I'm not touching
Not with a 10-foot pole.
I do not mess with beta after what happened with me with Nugget.
Oh, I should show this off. Let me get to something that won't reveal anything. Let's see here. We'll go into take a note. Hello. I'm just going to push auto complete to make a jumbled sentence. I'm just pushing them. Okay, so there's my sentence, right? Hey, man, I'm sorry to hear you are feeling better soon, and I will send you a... That's what my autocomplete did when I hit it randomly. God, that's so weird that it does that. Anyways, when you tap to hold and select, it's supposed to give me a little preview above the top. Why is it not doing that? It did it in email. So it's... Apparently, there is a Zoom. There's like a little Zoom pop-up window that comes over the top.
Oh, that's like iOS.
Yes, like iOS. Let me go into an email.
It's also like the Note, the Galaxy Note has a similar like functionality.
This is turning into from excitement to disturbance.
Okay. okay, I did just another random jumble of auto predict, and it says, I'm not able to get the kids to get a hold of a few of the things.
Oh, that's fair.
Okay. Right. Is it going to do it this way? No. Why is it not? Oh, there we go. Okay. So you can kind of see the.
Okay, that's not bad. That's better than iOS, which is the dumb little magnifying glass, which this is okay. Okay.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's just a square instead of a circle.
And it looks like it's only in apps that really rely on the messaging component. Like Google Keep is not an app that you message with.
Yeah, but it should be system-wide. I mean, if I'm...
Yeah,
if it's
fair.
If it makes selecting text and copy-paste and all that easier, it should be system-wide. And maybe it is. Maybe I was doing it wrong. I very well could have been. But so there's that. What else? I'm trying to think. Indoor Wi-Fi positioning. Apparently, Wi-Fi round trip time is now in here, so that if you're indoors and your GPS signal is not strong, it can use Wi-Fi as long as there are 3 access points in range, so it can triangulate your location within a few meters.
Wow, I wonder how that's gonna...
And then you can do indoor navigation stuff. That's
yeah. I was gonna say, I wonder how that's gonna work in suburbia.
Pretty well.
I mean, where there's a lot of Wi-Fi that. Well, now this is closed Wi-Fi, right? This is doing this off closed Wi-Fi access points.
Well, it's just doing it any of the Wi-Fi access points that you happen to be connected to.
Right,
as far as I understand.
So it's just for better location, basically. Yeah,
right, indoor.
Okay.
like indoor specifically.
GPS
often doesn't.
So to help you
inside.
At the mall, it'll pick up on the Wi-Fi from Auntie Anne's Pretzels and Wetzel's Pretzels,
or like the mall wide
and Sparrow.
If you ever find yourself in a mall, which
most malls do have Wi-Fi now.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. That makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of, I mean, and this is just like the visual enhancements, right? And functionality. There's a lot of under the hood stuff. For example, some of the things that we were talking about in episodes before around security on access to the camera and the microphone for apps, they will be closed off to that. That's really nice. There's a restriction for developers who try to use unpublished APIs. They won't be able to do that anymore. They're going to be forced to not use those in the apps. If a developer goes to make an update to their app and they're updating to a previous version of the API, mm-hmm. they're going to be forced to make it that version, bring it current. That's great to keep the updates up to date. Let's see here.
It's a running theme for the last.
Yep.
Support
for high efficiency image format, which apparently Apple supports this on iOS 11. I'm pretty unfamiliar as far as what that is, but I think it saves bandwidth, higher quality, low file size, that sort of, I mean, save bandwidth if you're transferring the file over.
Yeah.
Over your bandwidth, I suppose. Multi-camera API, enhancements to battery and doze, of course. Backup encryption on the device at lock screen. I have to read up a little bit more to understand that.
Which means that maybe it means that it's backing up even if when you're at the lock screen and you haven't unlocked it, like it's just backing up in the background.
Yeah.
Rather than waiting for you to unlock it and doing the whole backup thing when you plug it in.
Not entirely sure. I have to, that might be.
Well, we have plenty of time to find out. I mean, I'm sure you're going to be digging more into it.
I'm going to be using it. Exactly. That's for sure. Another one is this auto rotation or screen rotation temporary lock. So, see how in portrait, I changed to landscape, it locks it, but I have this little button down here. I can tap that and it'll lock it.
That's cool.
So that, and that way it'll kind of force it to stay that way for kind of the session, right?
Oh,
and then
I see.
When you're
it's
ready for it
out.
To release, when you're ready to release it, you just tap that and it'll
it's
release.
It's like the
it.
Axon M. The ZTE Axon M has little.
Oh, does it have that in?
Well, they like pop up so you can change modes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
Web 1712. Jason, can you say just like Apple does a few more times? I guess maybe once. I'm not really quite sure. There are three of us here. We're all saying things, Web 1712. And then finally, I know that I've missed stuff. Improved autocomplete support in Chrome browser.
Yep. We'll see about that.
Yeah. Because that's been a challenge with Oreo.
That's anytime there's autocomplete, I'm just like, that's subjective. Well, besides passwords.
Yeah. But I like enhancements there.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? This is very early. This is a very early version of this.
It's too early. I mean, it's A, because I don't have it, so I can't play with it from the scene. But like it seems as if, you know, a lot of the stuff I read was around the API stuff and the API access, the camera API, right? Which seems very interesting, that allows the camera API to access the two sensors if your camera has two lenses in it.
Right.
Which is really interesting. I'm curious what they're going to do. But I think that, you know, dev preview one, so early. Like, start making judgments at 3. That's my opinion. So,
but I mean, it does give you a hint of where they're going from a design perspective. Yeah. Ron Amadio at Ars Technica wrote an article that begs the question, is this the beginning of the new design language? We've talked in recent episodes about, you know, these rumors that Google is kind of on the cusp of releasing a material design 2.0, let's say. And maybe this is it. It's a little blockier, a little more bold white, you know, cards. You see it in the power switch and the volume rocker. You see it in the notification cards. Maybe this is kind of the new design language.
Somebody noted actually in that Ars Technica article in the comments, it's like one of the most popular comments, is that information density just keeps dropping.
Well,
on Android. It's just the fact that even moving the clock over to the left as we were talking helps alleviate the right side a little bit, kind of makes that a little less heavy. The big bubble big bubble icons, maybe, like, you know, Ron and I aren't feeling it for now, but it does add a little bit of a distinction between each different option versus, you know, where you're pressing on the quick settings the way they look now. the way that the font is laid out, the way that these panels are being made to be really big and just contain, like, here is a panel and this is the information that you're going to need. It's the only information you need right now. Mm-hmm. But if you look at that lock screen that we have on the screen right now from the Ars article, it's it looks very, I mean, it still looks just as busy as, you know, we're used to on the Pixel.
I will say that I just the other day I was pulled down my quick settings, panel, whatever. And I was thinking, this is getting kind of stale looking.
Yeah.
And so I wonder how much of this is just to refresh it and to make it, you know, like we'll add color where there hasn't been color. And, you know, the rounded corners, I feel like we've been, you know, we're hurtling towards a rounded world. I'm still shaking my fist at the Google Docs update and the round icons in the upper right hand corner. But, you know, some of this, you know, yes, it's cosmetic, but it's also a way to show, hey, this is different. This is how you differentiate from the previous version. So I mean, like we're kind of, you know, I feel like this is the equivalent of people on House Hunters who look at a house and say, oh, I don't like the color of the walls. Like, well, that's cosmetic. You can paint that.
Right.
You know, these are cosmetic changes. I'm more, you know, like, are we fine? You know, like every version of Android, you know, talks about battery optimization and energy saving and stuff like that. And of course, if this had that in there, is it actually going to do it or not? You know, like that's the stuff that I'm more interested in. A lot of the API stuff, the design stuff is going to evolve with every version. They're going to tinker with something. What version of Android have they left exactly the same looking as the previous one? None of them.
Yeah, and all of them look different, obviously, the first time you see them, and then you get really used to it. And then the next one comes out, and you're like, but I'm so used to this thing. And,
but then it's better.
But then, it gets better.
Usually is better.
Mm-hmm. Appreciating elegant design. If the design works well and is elegant, then you appreciate it and you accept how it looks. So.
Yeah. One bummer, I mean, talking about kind of the design element and, you know, customizing the look and everything like that, something that happened in Oreo that we've really enjoyed and we've shown it off on this show a number of different episodes is the whole Substratum theming engine that doesn't require root. Who was it? It was a guest that we had on not too long ago that brought that into the arena, and I think it may have won. Anyways, that seemed to be a big feature of that modders, people who like, you know, modding their devices, were applauding that Google was kind of opening it up and not requiring root and letting them do that. It turns out it looks like in Android P, those custom overlays to allow for that sort of thing actually aren't allowed. So now the folks at Substratum are hitting up, you know, their users to petition Google to say, hey, we want the freedom to be able to customize in this way. Why
is
this
allowed? I just
want
to change my icons. Is that so hard? I have an aesthetic I live by. I like to just open my phone and have it look exactly the way I want it to look.
Mm. Yeah. But there are icon-changing apps, I suppose.
Just let the people have it.
Let freedom of your OS home screen.
Look, it's like, you know, it's like having a digital house in a video game, you know?
You want to just
be absolutely yours.
Yeah, that's true. We've all been
your
there.
Customization. And that's why we are on Android in the first place.
Yeah.
It's free to be us.
Sing it. So right now, the developer preview only works on Pixel phones. So if you have a Pixel phone, you can install it. Nexus 5X, 6P, and Pixel C are no longer supported, will not be getting Android P, whatever it may be, when it officially launches. So that's basically the end of major OS updates for those devices, which basically means that Nexus devices, as Jerry Hildenbrand on Android Central says, it's time to say goodbye to the Nexus program because this is the last little boot out the door.
Do we get a little bit of funeral music yet, or is it too soon for that?
Yeah,
we could probably get a little taste of it. We'll definitely get it when that cutoff happens. I mean, the cutoff's happening right now. It's just security updates will last through November. Let's take a moment.
All right, so November. We'll do an official burial in November.
Okay, but this is a good pre-burial, I suppose.
This is to get you a little solemn when we talk about it.
Yeah. Release schedule May, which is right around I/O. There will be another developer preview, obviously.
The happy birthday run and flow banner, just like,
yeah, you know that they're going to put that into settings, of course.
It's an Easter egg. Our friends at Google, they're going to take care of us,
right? They're going to take care of us, right? June will be DP3, the developer preview 3 with final APIs. close to July, right around that time frame, will be the developer preview 4. Developer preview 5 will happen somewhere close to Q3, and then the final release will happen sometime in Q3.
There we go. Also, I just wanted to say, don't buy any of the Nexus devices that Amazon has on sale. I mean, unless you want to use it for something like...
They have Nexus devices like reduced on sale right now?
6P and 5X, yeah. It looked like they were just trying to get rid of...
Heck don't yeah, tell they
me
are.
How to don't tell me how to spend my money, Flo.
Nexus.
If I want a 6P, I can get one.
Okay, if you want one, yes. Sorry, I was trying to put the whole buyer beware out there.
That's fair.
You know, a lot of questions about should I get a Nexus anyway because it's like older and cheaper. But, you know, considering the whole like security updates stop after November and before you know it, it'll be November. Because life moves too fast.
There you go. Nexus 5X for $165.
Yeah. So maybe if you want like a cheapo Android MP3 player, though.
Yeah.
Nexus 5X in a cute little blue bag.
The Nexus 6 is still $259.
I liked the Nexus 6. That was an awesome video phone because of the big fat white screen that it is. It's just awesome.
Yep. Completely agree. That was a tank. That was a tank that I managed to destroy. Yeah.
Yep. Of all the phones,
that one had to land screen down.
There's also Nexus Emergency Shampoo for weak and damaged hair for $9.99 from Nexus.
So the Nexus program isn't going away.
I love when I would do that with a Google news function that would send the news to your inbox and it'd always be like shampoo and then Nexus. And like,
I don't think you understand, Google. They obviously didn't have artificial intelligence working.
Stop the presses. There's also a Nexus 4 on Amazon for $214.
That's more than the 5.
No, the Arc is going the other way. It's now
it's
a collectible.
It's the glass back. Do you know how hard it is to find one of those without scratches on the back? Mm-hmm. That glass was
it was
impervious.
Nice. Yep. That's so crazy. Nice. It would just slide off the table.
And then crack.
Yep.
Very easily.
All right. That's Android P. That's all we got. More news after this.
It's an exciting time. Let's take a pause from the exciting news and thank our first sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by WordPress. Listen, if you visited my site, then you know it's the center of my presence online, reflects who I am and who I stand for. And by my site, I mean the various sites that I work on the internet. And one of the reasons why I use WordPress.com every day is because it gives me the freedom and flexibility to share my voice, my work, my way, so you can make your site your own when you build it on WordPress.com. You don't need to do the coding or the design. WordPress provides all the tools you need to get your site up and running. And their customer support team is there 24/7 to help. That's Monday through Friday and weekends too. WordPress offers powerful e-commerce options ranging from a simple and effective buy button to a complete online store. And if you're just getting started, if you're watching your pennies, they've got plans that start at $4 a month. That's so cheap. It's so affordable. Great quality and great service for something as low as $4 a month. What are you waiting for? When you're ready to expand your business's online reach, WordPress makes it easy with built-in search engine optimization, social sharing, and specialized plugins to meet your needs. And get this. I hope you're sitting down while I'm about to say this because this is amazing. 30% of all websites on the internet run on WordPress. Let's just take a moment and think about that. 30% of the internet is on WordPress.com, on WordPress. I use WordPress every day for various websites and various businesses. WordPress just has the tools to get it done right. They've been doing it for so long. They're a name you can depend on. So you can get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. Just go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. WordPress.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank WordPress for their support of All About Android and for keeping 30% of the internet up. That's amazing. Okay. Good job, WordPress.
My site also runs on WordPress.
Wow, you're part of the 30%.
Finally. 30%. Finally, Flo. You gave up on your own CMS and you went to something dependable like WordPress. Good job.
It's a lot of pressure to have that many websites on the internet. My goodness. Yeah. Do you have that many websites? Just you personally on the internet?
I wish. Maybe someday.
Someday we can always aspire. All right. We don't need a bumper because we're still in news. We've got more news that's not Android P, basically.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with we often talk about iOS users, Android users, who spends more money, who's loyal to their platform, et cetera. Well, the Consumer Intelligence Research Partners have a new report that shows that Android brand loyalty is at its highest level they've ever seen. Ever. Period. So
you didn't need a study to figure that out.
To me, this is not surprising. But still, Android has a 91% loyalty rate, according to the report. Yeah. And that compares to iOS's 86% loyalty rate.
That's still pretty good.
All right. And that's based on a percentage of U.S. customers who stayed on their OS when upgrading their phone in 2017. Okay. And, you know, when you're trying to think about what's the what are the reasons for this, a big thing is probably ecosystem lock-in.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I've been on Google. I want to stay on the Google ecosystem. Yeah. I don't want to leave the Android ecosystem, et cetera. You know, but considering that and considering that there are way more Android devices in the world compared to iOS, the next part of the report changes that perspective because the report shows the absolute number of Android users switching to iOS is more than the absolute number of iOS users switching to Android. So think about that. So what that says, it seems to show that iOS actually gains more Android users than the other way around. So that's mind-blowing when the number of users switching from Android to iOS is higher than vice versa, but Android loyalty is higher than iOS.
Right, just based on sheer user numbers and that sort of stuff.
Because that's still a 14% disparity that you can gun after if you're an Android manufacturer. But I wonder if... I wonder if Pixel could start, getting some iOS users over. Like once it starts to pick up more traction,
that needs to happen.
Like I have some faith because I even just in my own life, which I derive a lot of inspiration from. Just conversations.
I'm very inspired by my life.
Well, the conversations I have with people and they look at my phone and they go, what is that? And I'm like, it's a Pixel 2. And whenever we go out, they always say, Flo, your phone takes the best photos. You should take the photos.
I have to say, I've been, we're always looking out for phones and things like that. And my day job is iOS is very dominant, but I'm seeing Pixel 2s popping up random places. Like somebody was in a meeting. I noticed the little mint green button. I was like, hey, Pixel 2. And they're like, oh yeah, I love this phone. It's great. So I'm seeing it starting to merge. And I feel like New York is a different market than San Francisco, right? So it's interesting. The switch mentality is very interesting because – I mean, Jason, I know you just did 6 weeks in hell with that iPhone X, but I think a lot of people are very intimidated to even think about moving sides.
Yeah, and I also think about the last couple of years in Android and how it could have been really frustrating to be an Android user, especially in North America, with the kinds of phones that it either goes from very... not the best experience at the low end to one of the greatest experiences, but it costs so much money. Mm-hmm. So I imagine a lot of people just decided, forget it. I'm just going to get an iPhone and it'll last me 3 years.
Because this was thrown out, it reminded me of something that I saw that didn't make it into the rundown, but I just added it. So below the story, Victor, if you want to check out the rundown. Vlad over at The Verge wrote an article, and basically the headline is the Pixel 2 XL was my only camera at the Geneva Motor Show. And when you go through the post, he basically breaks down why the Pixel 2 camera is so great, and it would be this way on the 2 and the 2 XL. All the pictures in the article were shot with the Pixel 2 XL, and I mean, at the Geneva Motor Show, you're seeing some really just high-tech, crazy-looking cars and close-ups of technology and everything.
Dang.
I mean, it's pretty jaw-dropping, like the level of quality that you get. Google, I mean, obviously is doing a lot of things right with the Pixel. Mm-hmm. They just need to figure out how to sell it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, get better at selling it. And I think the ramp-up time has to be now. They're, this year we're going to see the third generation. And if at the third generation their plan still isn't or is still we're going to take the slow route and let it build slowly over time and it's doing sales numbers like we heard about last year, then I think that's a problem. Google needs to move more of these, and I would love to see that because they're great phones.
They are truly great phones. You know what else is great that pairs really well with the Pixel is the Google Home.
Oh, yes, it does.
Especially now that it has routines, which we've been talking about for a couple weeks now, since MWC, when the last sort of, there was a minor little couple announcements made at MWC, and mm-hmm. this came out along with it. So routines are now a thing, and Victor, if you wouldn't mind, I have them here on my phone, and so I can show you how to access them.
I tried to look for them on mine, and I don't have them yet.
When did you check?
Earlier today.
Okay.
Should I check now?
I think I got actually updated today. Oh, when I wasn't even paying attention. So here you go. This is the Google Home app screen, the main screen that you see when you get in. Here are your settings. You're going to go into more settings, and then you're going to tap on. You're going to scroll down to services, and under news, there's routines with a little sunlight icon next to it. And so these are the routines.
I have them. I have it.
You have them.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that shortcuts also still exist. Just FYI, which was what people were using before to sort of like make these, you could program Google Home to say something specific and it would, you could program up to two actions to happen in one sentence. But
oh, I see it now.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so in routines now, what you can do is they give you off a nice little starter one. And when you tap on it, you'll see it's already sort of configured for you, which is nice just to give you away something to start with. What you're going to be able to do is basically program it the way that you would maybe program the Google Home and IFTTT. So when you say a certain phrase, which you can add your own if you need to, then you can set what assistant should do. And so here it's given a couple of suggestions. Take your phone off silent. Okay, yeah, let's do that because we need to do that in the morning. Adjust the lights, plugs, and more. So I'm assuming we're going to want to do that. Okay, it's winter time, so actually, it's daylight savings time now. So what I would do is I would go to my lights, here are my Hue lights in the house, and I would set, I would probably set the cool Hue Bloom over here, which is in my office, to a nice purple color to get the day started. Mm. So we'll do that, just pretend that I set that up. Tell you about the weather, adjust the thermostat. I also have a Nest in the house. I'm wondering, actually, if this pre-populated based on the devices that I already had.
Yeah,
linked
curious.
In. Because I have a Nest, I have lights.
No, I've got adjust thermostat. I don't have a Nest. But adjust thermostat is grayed out, and there's a little info saying you need to add a thermostat. But it's Yeah.
Oh, look, adjust media volume. I mean, you can tell it to play music podcasts. Oh, I love this. You can play latest episode or specific podcast.
Oh, that's cool. I like that a lot.
That is cool. I just, before we talk more about this, though, I just want to show you Alexa real quick. So I queued it up over here real quick, and this is the routine section. So Alexa's had routines for a while now. I don't like to use them because I have a problem with having to prompt
control.
I just don't like to prompt to say, you know, so in, well, I guess it's the same on Google. I don't know. I just didn't like the way I would have to prompt it. But the thing about routines that you can do in the Amazon Alexa app is that you can set these routines to happen without you saying anything. I don't know if you can do that in Google Home yet. So, like, for instance, this routine is just something that I set to happen at 6 p.m.
So, like a time thing. Do this at this time.
Yeah.
Can you go back to Google Home? I've got a question about this, actually.
Yep.
So, this is really cool. Go back. So, yep.
Discard.
I want to add a routine to go to bed. Mm-hmm. How do I add a routine?
You would. That's a good question.
Nope. Ready made. It's like good morning is the only one there.
There's literally no way to add routines.
Huh. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right.
Oh, no. I've been doing this the whole time Flo was doing the demo. I was trying to figure out how to add another one. You can only say good morning, and that's it.
Wait a minute. Let me try something else.
No. You're right. You can't add another one.
No,
so
you can't.
If you go into good morning, the one that's there,
and you can change it.
You can change when I say. And then, you know, change your edit command or whatever.
So all you can do is have one routine. It says get daily help with personal routines. Just say one command and your assistant will do multiple things. So it's literally just a routine.
Ready made. Available. Hmm. Yeah, it's almost like there needs to be a plus here. So
there's no action button. That's really weird, isn't it?
Ah, I wonder why that's not working.
Well,
do multiple games, but
I wanted to just add on. So good morning, bedtime, leaving home, I'm home, commuting to work and commuting home are supposed to be the six routines that are included initially in the app.
Yeah.
So as we just noticed, only good morning seems to be in there. Routines will be voice dependent. So each person has their own customized routine. So if my husband wants to set up his own morning routine, which he's more than welcome to do, I'm subtweeting you right now. on the show, because I'm always trying to encourage him to set it up on his own. You can totally do that in the house. Maybe you have kids that you want to set up routines for. Routines will have a limited set of predetermined actions. Okay, these actions don't seem to include assistant apps integration yet. So can't,
like, third party outside of the things that are truly baked into it, like support for Hue and Nest. It has that. But third parties,
So third party smart home apps with assistants. So basically, I'm assuming IFTTT and, you know, Stringify, or, which you can't.
I mean, you can imagine once that gets built in, how oh my gosh, more powerful it's
going to
be.
Oh, this whole world of automation is going to blow up in the next couple of months. And like all of these little things, you know, they're actually quite a big deal because this changes a lot how you interact with these devices in your house that, you know, you're being asked to bring this assistant into your home, and the whole idea is to sell you on this, you know, digital personality, sort of lead you through your life. And so this just makes it more. What I would love to see actually is if this were all just pre-programmed based on the settings that I already had in the Google Home app. So Google already knows that I've got all this stuff set up. Google Home app would just set up those things for me.
Yeah.
So just so that I don't even have to go in and do it. The minute I start up a Google Home device, I could just say it and it would just know. But that's machine learning. It's got to learn to do that. We're teaching it right now, quite frankly.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I've noticed on this phone?
That your ringer is really nice. And
my ringer is
That's a nice ringer. That's not super anxiety inducing.
Is that even though I turned down volume on my phone entirely last night as I was going to bed, if I ever hit any of the navigation buttons, it would still go. I'm like, wait a minute, I turned it all down. I shouldn't be hearing this. So anyways, I don't know if that's a bug or not knowing how to use it.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I never want to hear you using your phone. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Don't worry. I'll distract you with some heavy political discussion.
Oh, yay. Another thing that's been in my Google feed the last couple of weeks.
So, and this has been a big deal today. We've heard for months now that China's Broadcom might seek to acquire Qualcomm. By the way, would be the largest tech acquisition in history. Broadcom had just announced that it would relocate its headquarters from Singapore to the U.S. 2 days before the Qualcomm shareholder vote would happen, which, you know, hopefully would, from their perspective, potentially tip the scales. Better luck next time. Apparently, the Trump administration officially prohibited the $117 billion deal on grounds of national security. Basically, they're heeding the recommendations of the Committee of Foreign Investment in the U.S. The deal, they say, could slow and or weaken U.S. investment in chip and wireless technology at Qualcomm. That would favor Chinese development of next-generation wireless systems like 5G, which ultimately would give companies like Huawei the lead in the space. That's kind of why we're actually talking about it here. Huawei, you've heard us talk in the past, has been in the crosshairs of the U.S. government.
For years.
And then very recently, you know, there was the kind of the pressure to not allow U.S. Carriers to carry Huawei's phones
for
national security.
That was so public because it happened the week of CES.
Huawei has not been very happy. Well, you know, along that line, that's kind of folding over into what's happening here. It's not likely just about security, though. Also about, you know, innovation, jobs, all that kind of stuff, which is of high importance to the Trump administration. But I think there are a lot of people that are seeing what's happening here, and they're actually applauding the fact that this merger isn't taking place, you know, outside of all the political pressure or whatever. They're happy that that's not taking place because ultimately it would be another example of, you know, big company swallows up other big company, innovation dwindles, you don't have any of that progress.
One company owns the patents and so many things, and so I mean, effectively, that merger would own, I mean, perhaps this is hyperbole, but I feel like it would affect every single phone that everybody, besides Apple phones, I guess, since they make their chips in Apple land.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the thought was that if Broadcom owns Qualcomm at that point, you know, they could kind of stop the progress that Qualcomm is making on their chips so that companies like Huawei would be able to get a better hold on that technology. Basically, shut down the innovation happening in the U.S. through Qualcomm so that Huawei can get a better hold. And the greater political implication of that, you know, that that China, let's say, is innovating more than the U.S. and they made it happen through this acquisition. So anyways, that happened. It's kind of, I don't know if it was, if it's a perfect match for this show, but it felt like something that at least needed
Huawei
to be mentioned.
Angle is because this company has been trying really hard to come to the United States since I've started covering Android.
Oh yeah, big time.
Even before that, because before that was when the controversy was like, oh, Huawei things are spying. And that was like, oh, that's bad. And so then they had to wait a couple of years, kind of work on their phone thing. And then they came out in 2013 saying, we want to come back. You know, we want to. And we almost they almost had it. They almost had it in 2018. I think
it'll be interesting to see, like, there are some red lines being drawn in the sand right now around you know, U.S. trade with, you know, outside of the U.S. And this is a kind of a piece of that puzzle. I think it'll be very interesting to see, related to this show, a lot of the technology that we talk about that is coming from overseas, is coming from China. You know, Matteo brings on all of these devices that we don't see in the U.S. regularly. But I know that those companies have great ambitions to have some sort of representation in the U.S. And they're, with those red lines that are being drawn in the sand, that's going to get a lot more difficult.
I'm very curious about what else this will do to foreign-made phones.
Well,
foreign-made technology, I should say, because, you know, we're not the only ones making these things.
No, absolutely
we
true.
Are not.
Absolutely true.
This is going to be interesting to watch.
Yes, indeed. You know what else is interesting to watch? Our feeds.
A little.
Oh yeah, here we go.
Sneak peek into our lives. So how do we need some sort of wheel? How do we pick who goes first?
Oh boy. I'll just go first. I'll take one for the team. Or, okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if anyone else is nervous to go.
I'm not nervous. I offered up unfiltered access. If Victor clicks the link in the doc, he can get into my phone. So,
all right, we'll give Victor time to get into your phone. I'll go ahead and go first because I've got it up here. So what is this segment? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We said, oh, it'd be very interesting to see what we have inside of our Google feed because it's been really, you know, very good at offering up stories, blah, blah, blah. We should do that on a future episode. Here we are. We're going to check out our feeds and hopefully, well, it could be very uneventful. It could be like, yeah, there's a bunch of Android news.
Yeah, it's
could
true.
Could be not, though.
I'm fairly certain it will be surprising no matter what we see. So,
all right. So we'll dive into my feed first. I'll be the guinea pig here. We'll go ahead and swipe over. My feed is showing, of course, the weather up top. Google Assistant multi-step smart home routines are now live.
Singular routine.
Oh yes. That S is disingenuous. We didn't have this story in the. I also thought that this feed would be a good way to get in like quick hits on stories we didn't include.
Is that our new segment now?
Totally could be.
Jason's feed.
Android Oreo 8.1 is actually available for Essential. So if you have an Essential phone, you're going to start getting 8.1 update, I think, imminently. So that's good. Galaxy S9 Plus versus Pixel 2 XL, new low light champion. Okay. Nothing really that surprising here. Like, this is what I do a lot. Is read stories like this. AT&T Time Warner merger, Fitbit Versa undercuts Apple Watch. Okay, so Fitbit has a new smartwatch that they announced today. I haven't really read very much about it, but apparently it undercuts the Apple Watch on size and price. Movies Anywhere, we've talked about that on the show. They've actually now added Fandango Now. Okay, 9 games will never install. I hardly play video games, but I still get it in my feed. Six Balloons official trailer with Netflix. Rex Tillerson, of course. That was big news today.
Of course.
Taylor Swift.
No.
First surprise.
That's your daughter right there.
First surprise in my feed. I've got some Taylor Swift Delicate. I don't even.
That's her new video that just came out yesterday.
Is it from her album?
Yeah.
Okay, then I know the song, but I don't know the video.
She's dancing around because she's free from her celebrity. Anyway.
Pennsylvania special election. 10 reasons to visit Fort Myers in Sanibel, Florida, because we're going to Sanibel.
They always do that. It's always from like a random site I've never heard of.
Random site? Well, National Geographic.
Oh, never mind. That's...
However, we are going to Sanibel, Florida. Like, that's where we're spending part of our
Have you searched for Sanibel, Florida?
I don't remember ever searching.
It probably looked at your tickets.
It says your upcoming trip.
Yep.
In your Gmail.
It says right there.
Yep. I did not search specifically for Sanibel, so I know that it's pulling that. And then, of course, Orlando from the New York Times.
It says your upcoming trip. Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, it does. Right. You're up. Cool. Oh, that's smart. That's really cool.
Yeah. That's pretty
all right.
Good.
Phew.
By the way.
The weirdest thing that happened was Taylor Swift.
All right.
Do you want to watch the video?
No, not at all.
Are you sure that we could play the song?
Okay, no.
All right.
All right. Phew. I made it out alive. Okay. Who's going next?
Flo, would you like to, or do I'm ready to? If you want
Ron,
me to
Ron, you go because you're ready. I'm going to go last.
Okay. So Victor is dialed. Here is my phone. Here you go. You see, this is my home screen.
Oh,
fun
I love
stuff.
Looking at Ron's home screen.
All right. I am going to swipe right. You ready?
Swipe right.
No idea what we're going to find here. Okay, let's do it. And
you know, it'll be really underwhelming if it's all the same stuff.
Of course, the first thing is the Mets.
All right, here we go. Juan Lagares trade is looking possible. All right. Then we got something on Robert Mueller. All right. Something on Star Wars. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Mac OS, WWDC 2018. Interesting. The Mets Astros score today.
Surprised that scorecard is not up at the top.
Yep. Related stories. It's asking me if this card is useful. I'm going to say yes, it is.
I would say it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Violent video games not welcome for Olympic esports. Trending.
Okay. It's trending. That's kind of a, yeah.
It's my phone really thinks I still live in San Francisco, so it gives me giant scores.
You still sort of care, right?
Yeah. No, I do care. I do care.
All right.
More about him, whatever. No, this is not useful. HBO.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage cast as Superman in Teen Titans Go movie. That hits a lot of things.
Okay,
there.
So wait a minute. So is that Nicolas Cage is a Teen Titans
Go
or is
trending.
It Superman?
Nicolas Cage is trending.
But it's trending for me because that comicbook.com is a site I go to a lot, yeah. So
got
that makes
it.
Sense.
Okay.
Here under I've never seen a section called comics, but this is about the American Gods comic. A little bit of local weather. We're getting hit with nor'easters.
That's good. Doing you a service. Public
a
service.
A little Google and Sith.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
It's telling me that there's a new episode of The Flash tonight, which I love to watch. It's also telling me that Que Sera Sera by Doris Day was released yesterday.
That's
fascinating because Que Sera Sera is a song that we listened to like 2 years ago a lot. And I haven't listened to it in a while, but it does have a lot of emotional resonance. And
wow.
I'm really... And it's serving that up. And then, of course, there's a new episode of Fixer Upper tonight.
Which is your favorite TV show of all time.
Well, hey, Shiplap. Ron loves Shiplap.
Yes, he's a big Shiplap fan.
Let's say two things. When you live with someone else, you accept what they like. And also, that show's been on the downhill this season. It's just not good. Anyway.
I will say I've spent many hours watching that show when I had cable TV. Part of the reason I got rid of cable TV is because I watch shows like that all the time. Yeah. All right.
Well, I don't cable TV either. I actually pay Google Play for the season.
Oh no!
That's how I pay for it. I pay HGTV to watch Fixer Upper.
That's so full on intention right there.
Pay your devs, pay artists. You should pay for your media. So there it is.
This is such an interesting window into our lives. It's Flo's turn. Flo, what you got? There better be some Kardashian in there.
Oh boy. Okay. Look at Steve. What I mean by my home screen. I have an aesthetic.
That's okay. Cool looking.
Here we go. All right, so the first one is robot vacuum cleaner. Nita launches assistant-enabled bot vac D7 robot vacuum.
That makes sense.
In case anybody wants to know.
I mean, you're beat right now. what you're doing is smart homes. So that totally makes sense.
Google's the second thing from The Verge. Oh my God, my heart is beating. I'm like so scared.
It's
okay.
it's really this is nerve wracking.
It's revealing.
Yeah, it's very revealing.
Thank you. Yeah. I need a second. Trending. Here's what Ned Stark whispered during his Game of Thrones death.
Is that a spoiler? Probably.
Well, because I used to be really into Laura Hudson. I still am. Laura Hudson used to recap every Game of Thrones episode.
Oh, okay.
And so like I used to do a lot of research.
One of these days I'll watch that show.
Samsung Galaxy S series. Okay. Android. Aviation is a thing I do like. I am kind of a closet aviation nerd.
Oh, I heard about this story about the dog that died in the...
Oh, this happens a lot. Oh. Or, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but anyway, it's not the first
it's sad.
Thing
it's sad.
Jimmy Kimmel is... I was Googling him during the Oscars, reading up hot takes, as you do.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch is a thing I'm really into because I'm always looking, what game can I buy this week?
Well, there's an update that adds small fixes and hidden features if you're
it's
interested.
From Polygon, which is a site that I get a lot of my gaming news from.
Yep.
Smartphone notches, a startup pitching a mind uploading service that is 100% fatal from MIT Technology Review, which, by the way, great publication. I love it. This is why I love it, because they do stories like that where you're like...
Question marks over your head.
And of course, we have the new episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills tonight.
It's not quite Kardashian, but it's close enough.
Ooh, Eileen Davidson's in tonight's episode. Eileen Davidson of The Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives.
You're so much better than this, Flo.
Blackish is a show also that's coming up for me.
I've heard that's a good show. I've never watched it.
We're not doing more stories, are we? No.
No, I don't think we're going into more stories.
Because if we got more stories, then...
I'll happily tap to refresh. Tap to update. Is the Mets score?
Yeah, nothing.
Here we go. I stopped sharing my window, but I got 11 truly old school red sauce Italian joints in New York City. Gabagool, Galamad, Mozzadel, and more.
Yeah, that's right down your alley.
Okay, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
I'm upset that because normally in my feed is Disney World updates. And Jason, I was hoping there would be one for you since you're going.
Yeah, me too, actually. I'm surprised it didn't pick up on that. I've got plenty of little Disney World reservations in my email.
I'm kind of bummed that being an aviation geek means that I get
that you get sad stories
about. Because I get all the stuff about like United Airlines. Like I just get every news about United. So I know like every awful thing that.
Hey, well, at least you know.
At least I know.
At least you know, so you can avoid if need be.
That's the feed.
That was really fun, you guys.
I hope the viewers enjoyed it.
I don't know if it was fun for anybody else, but I thought it was really entertaining.
I think it was an interesting experiment. I think it was a good experiment for us to do because this is a part of the AI and the machine learning that Google infuses so much into its products. And so the idea here is, you know, their whole slogan, make Google do it, like make Google get the news for you. Only the news that you want.
Yeah.
That's important to you. So yeah, it is important to me to know what stupidity United has done because I have a mileage number with them.
And you've shown Google that you're interested.
I've booked flights with United.
Yeah.
And I will say that this little demo showed we are three distinct individuals who search and absorb different bits of news. And there was not one article that was in all three of our feeds, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Wade County says, I guess you can do this segment every 3 to 4 months. We'll see about
that. Sure. Yeah, I'm down with that.
It might get old if we continue to do it, but maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Maybe we can do it while eating Oreos.
Our pre-show is going to get longer than our actual show if we continue down that
before
route.
Before we move on, and Victor, you do not have to use the camera on this. I'm just looking at it for, I know this is like, your bill is due on your credit card. But I just want to add that the shelf is still my favorite part of this Google feed is just the being able to have all my travel time to
it's
places
nice.
That matter
I just
to
never
me.
Think to go there.
I get a lot of packages because I run a business for my house. So I, you know, I'm always getting things and just to be able to, you know, where
what,
you park.
What business are you running?
You know, my business, my writing business.
Your content business? I will say that I recently set up Google Maps and Google Now for my commute. And I did that last night, actually. I never even noticed it. And then tonight, it like told me, it's like, time to leave. Your train is running 2 minutes late. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, that's great. It was awesome.
Handy.
And every Tuesday, I get a little card for Twit, and then
that kicks you out the door.
Yeah.
Says seriously, get moving.
Yeah,
don't get stuck in traffic.
Under my shadow. Other days when I go to more, you know, if I'm going somewhere where I like exercise often or whatever, like it'll.
Yeah, I've gotten really into the habit of anything that I put into my calendar. If there is a location, I take the 5 seconds to put it in there because it really enhances those reminders that you get through through your feed as far as like you need to leave now in order to get to your thing. Instead of just being reminded your thing's in a half an hour, it actually says like, you got to get on the road right now.
Oh my God, the worst is when it goes, you have 56 minutes to get there. You better be on the road already. And I'm just like, oh my God.
What do I do? I give up, obviously, because I'm not.
I'm not going to make it. How does this help me?
All right, cool. What's in your feed? I love it. Let's do it again sometime. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and that is Hover. Building your online brand, if you've gone down the road of trying to establish your brand online, you know that it's super important, and there's a whole lot of other people doing the same thing, right? Your online identity begins with your domain name, and you got to get that before anyone else does. It's going to say a lot about what you have to offer online. Domain name, your passion, whatever it is. Buying a domain name is the first and biggest step to building your personal brand online. Your domain name tells the online community who you are, also what you're passionate about. So, you know, pick a good one. Web hosts and websites evolve as their brand, website, and hosting needs change. So keeping your domain separate from hosting gives you the flexibility to choose the right platform for your business. No one wants to be stuck with a solution that doesn't exactly meet their needs. Well, Hover offers best-in-class customer support team, no upsells, Hover Connect feature that allows you to connect your domain name to many website builders with just a few simple clicks. Personalized email that matches your domain further supports your online identity even more. Hover has over 400 domain extensions to choose from. That's crazy, 400 extensions. So your options feel limitless. You can get super creative. Your personal favorite, whatever it happens to be. Maybe it's .me extension, which, I mean, people are using this all the time for personal portfolios. It's a great way to stand out from the generic .com or .net, and which, by the way, it's, you know, very hard to get the right .com and .net sites nowadays. If you're sending a resume to potential employers, you could use a .me to showcase what you're all about and stand out from the crowd. Become your own best brand advocate. The .me domains are on sale for this month only $9.99. That's 33% off your first year. And if you're new to Hover, you can even get an additional 10% off any of the domain extensions offered. Go to hover.com/twit to check out their deals. It's time to get your portfolio website up and running with a .me extension. That's hover.com/twit to get 10% off any domain name from Hover. And we thank Hover for their support of All About Android. All right, it's now time for a little bit of hardware.
A little bit of hardware.
Just a little bit. You know, we usually do 3 stories, and that's about what we have here. I don't know if they're stories, but anyways, I've been spending some time challenging myself to try Bluetooth headphones because I haven't really
Welcome to the future.
We know how Ron feels about them.
Be honest, my debate with Juan Bagnell's channel really swayed you, didn't it?
It won me over, Ron. You know what? I think I'm a Ron Richards fan now.
I'm quite persuasive.
You're just now a fan.
it took me a while.
Behind.
It took about 10 years, but Jason's coming around.
I think we should have Ron on the show. What do you think?
Yeah.
This has been one audition that has lasted 360 episodes.
Yes, you're hired. So I've been playing around with 2 different wireless earphone sets, not the AirPods that have the little dangly thing dropping down that always looks weird to me. But I have here the Zolo Liberty Plus, and I actually reviewed these on the new Screensavers this last week. So if you want to see my full review, you can. But I thought I'd show them off here. One thing I did not check is how sanitary they were, because with their earphones, you never know what you're going to find, but they're looking okay. All right, they're looking okay. So Zolo Liberty Plus. These are $149 for this. And what you get is this charging case, which I'll go ahead and shake it. You can see the lights light up to let you know how much charge is in here. The earphones themselves hold 3 to 4 hours of charge. The charging case holds 40. So when you're done using the earphones, you just drop them in here and they top up like over an hour or how, you know, or less than that, because you probably didn't deplete them necessarily. And it's just kind of magical, right? Like they're always just charging up while they're in your pocket. The case isn't so completely huge that it, you know, that it doesn't fit very comfortably in your pocket, or it would fit very easily into, you know, a purse, obviously. Or at least I imagine so. Depends. I should ask the expert on that.
It depends. It should be fit in a fine purse.
Yeah. So Zolo is a sub-brand of Anker. And, and I've actually reviewed a couple of their products on the new screensavers. I actually really like what they're coming out with.
From the Anker for millennials? Just going off by the advertisement.
Probably. That actually makes a lot of sense. So they've got an LDS antenna in here, and they say that what that provides is a stronger connection. And it's also got Bluetooth 5 connectivity if your device supports it. I will say that in my testing of these, like one of my biggest complaints with Bluetooth earphones in general is the dropout factor.
Skipping.
Sudden pauses and then starting up again, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Not once did I experience those.
What?
Not once. I didn't.
What magic didn't is this?
So I don't know if it's the LDS antenna, which is what they say, but stronger connection. I don't know if it's Bluetooth 5, because I knew Bluetooth 5 is more resilient, but there's also a lot of, you know, kind of head scratching around what Bluetooth 5 is actually doing in these when it comes to audio back to your phone. I also know that setup and pair was super easy. Like, I pretty much just pulled this out of the case and put it in my ear, opened up my phone, and they were there ready to pair. It was just like, here we are. Why don't you pair me? And I tapped it, and then I was able to use it. These do push. They are buttons for assistant and for control. The problem there ends up being that when you push it and it's in your ear, it kind of pushes it further into your ear. So it's a little uncomfortable. So you kind of get used to like holding it just slightly when you push the button, which is a little annoying. But IPX5 rated, so that means they're sweatproof. I wore these at the gym. They not once fell out. And you can see the design. They give you these kind of custom ear pad, and then this thing is also a custom with a different, a whole set of options for this and this, so that you can find the one that fits your ear just right, and you just put it in your ear and lock it into place. And it stays in there. I'll go ahead and put it in real quick just so that you can kind of see it. There it is. A little, like it pokes out a little bit, but I feel like it feels super comfortable.
It's not an AirPod.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like the little dangly thing down below.
But I can see them so that I know why you don't hear me. Excuse me, sir. Yeah. Excuse me.
They seal. These suckers seal you off.
That's what I don't like. That's why I like the Google Pixel Buds, because they aren't the complete in ear type. Mm-hmm. Like personally to me, I had one of the little rubber things on the end come off the earbud and get stuck in my ear.
Oh, so no.
I had to go to the hospital.
Wow.
So like, that's why I will not do in ear at all. So
I don't mind the in-ear. These do have the option. Actually, both of the headphones that I'm showing off today do have the option of a pass-through mic. So it has a mic on here. You can do calls, but you can hold down the button for like 5 seconds, and it will activate the microphone and pass the audio through. So you can hear your environment outside. Even while you're listening to things, it lets through sound, so you can hear it outside of the earphone. So that helps.
Oh, in case there's a siren or something.
Or somebody's talking to you. Like, I was wearing these while I was snowboarding last weekend, and there were times where people were
snowboarding.
Were talking to me, and like I didn't hear them until I did that. Wow. And then I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not a jerk. Anyways, these are great. $150 sound quality. That's obviously an important factor here. And I actually thought these sounded pretty good. A little bass heavy at times, depending on the sound, you know, the music that you're actually listening to. But I think the isolation was really good, coupled with the actual, you know, sound that you're getting through the earphones. I thought these were perfectly sufficient. Like I would actually use these as my default earphones, which is more than I thought I was going to say going into the Bluetooth realm. And I think the reason being because I didn't really get all the dropouts and stuff that I normally experience with Bluetooth. I didn't get that with these. And then on the other hand, another example is the Braggy
In the other ear.
Yeah, in the other ear. The Broggy Dash Pro. These are a lot more expensive. These are $320.
Hey. Ouch.
And yeah, so.
Those look cool.
They're a little slimmer. So when you pull them out, they don't stick out nearly as far when you put them in your ear. They kind of have a more flat style to them. Actually, when I was snowboarding and I had my snowboard helmet on, I couldn't wear these for very long because they stuck out too much and it was uncomfortable in my ear. These I wore almost the entire time because they just fit better. Earphones hold 5 hours of charge. The charger pack holds 30 hours. So you're going to get more out of the Liberty Plus than you get out of the Dash Pros that I have here. But the charger case is a little bulkier. It's a little bigger.
It's not a cute case.
Yeah. Like I
the
like
other the, one's cute.
I like the tight, like the open flap design of this. This, you end up with multiple pieces and you're like holding that.
Oh my gosh, that's clunky.
Get things out anyways. Capacitive buttons on these. Oh. So it's not a physical button. You can just tap it and, you know, fire off assistant, or you can do swipe gestures for volume up, volume down. It also has keyword AI. It's AI powered for activity sensing. There's a heart rate monitor in here. So it's actually detecting your heart rate as you do things. So when I was wearing these snowboarding, it would detect that I was moving and it would say activity started and it would log my heart rate while I was snowboarding.
Wow, like
it
right
thought
here.
I was biking because it doesn't have snowboard as its method. So it's like RPMs at an average heart rate of whatever. But it kind of gives you a little bit of like indication while you're going along of like, you've been doing this for 5 minutes and your average heart rate is blah, blah, blah. So if you care about that stuff.
Well, now I know what I want from Pixel Buds second gen.
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah, I could see that. This does have the audio pass through. It's called windshield mode. So it has that great isolation. I would say just in general, much more comfortable. You could actually wear these swimming. So these are IPX7 rated. So that means sweat and water up to 1 meter deep for 30 minutes. Really great sound on these. The sound was phenomenal. And a microphone for calls. But I did on these experience multiple dropouts. Dropouts.
For 350 euros.
Yeah.
It's a little unfortunate.
Totally. I completely agree. I mean, enough so that I would be hesitant. And I don't know if it's an Android thing. Like maybe these work better on iOS than they do on Android. I don't have an iOS device to test it out with, but I know that's a big part of their marketing is this, you know, working with Siri and all that kind of stuff. There's 4 gigs of onboard storage on these as well, so you can store your music onto the device themselves.
That just sounds like a toolkit of tools that I'm interested in some of them, but not all of them.
Yeah. Like, is that worth another $150 for you or $100 some odd?
No, because I bet Anchor is going to figure out a way to do all of that for $40. And
perhaps, yeah. It also does translation. So I know that the Pixel Buds does translation. You can do that here, too, with the Broggy app.
You have to do it with their app?
Yeah, I haven't tested the translation myself. Okay. Everybody, right. Everybody was speaking my language at New Tahoe. So
really?
Yeah. Anybody that I talked to, it seemed like anyways. So I'm going to do a full review of the Broggy Dash Pro probably when I get back from my vacation in Florida. I'm going to use them.
You
can
try them at the beach.
And I will give a full review on new screensavers. And that's a couple of cool. Bluetooth. But I think in general, my experiment with Bluetooth earphones, I'm slightly more positive on them. You know,
I got to tell you, I'm Pixel Buds every day in and out of work. I've charged it 3 times since I bought it.
Wow.
I charged, you know, like the Pixel Buds never get below 70% charge if I just put them back in the case all the time. Like,
yeah,
it's been fine. I haven't flown with them yet, but I should be flying in April. And so I'll give it a try then. I remember during the debate about Bluetooth headphones, everyone's like, we can't use them on a plane in airplane mode. Like, yeah, except that who still uses airplane mode? I connect my phone via Wi-Fi in the air, and T-Mobile gives me free access. Like, clearly, we're okay to turn off airplane mode on planes, so you can use your Bluetooth headphones after takeoff, of course.
Yes,
you
know? Right.
And so I don't listen to music, you know, during takeoff. That's fine. I can deal with that. But it's interesting. It's very interesting. Goodbye, headphone jack. So. But we can say goodbye to something else, too.
What?
Look at that segue.
I'm bracing for it, Ron.
Goodbye to the Moto X.
Oh,
the Moto X5. I'm sorry. The Moto X5. Motorola is reportedly laying off around half of its U.S. engineering staff by early April. And not only that, it's laying off the Moto X5 that it was due to release this year. And it's going to focus on the Moto E, G, and Z series. And as much as I love the Moto mods, it looks like that's changing as well, too. Their strategy is moving away from mods that appeal to niche markets and towards those that have wider appeal, which, to be honest, I can't argue that business decision. Hey, why don't we make things that have a wider appeal? That sounds like a great idea. So probably less game pads and more battery mods and cases and things like that. At least Moto mods aren't dying completely, but I feel like they're on thin ice here. So
they are, especially if they scaled back on their staff as well.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. But is this also not a good sign? The fact that the first day sales of the Galaxy S9 are only 70% of the predecessor? Ooh. Or is it because last year a lot of people upgraded because of the new model that was introduced last year?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point, right? Like, more and more, it seems like the phones that are coming out are fully capable, less reason to upgrade. I mean, is that it here? I mean, I feel like a large part of the discussion around the S9 has been like, yeah, I mean, technically it's better, but it's really hard to, like, tell people to upgrade to it.
Well, and this is pre-sales. So pre-sales for the device have been lackluster compared to previous years. You know, the phone is coming out Friday. So right. We don't know who's going to upgrade to the phone, who's going to get it, who's going to want it.
What's interesting about this is that I wanted to see what the S8 did. And according to an article on April 13, 2017, Samsung announced that the Galaxy S8 pre-orders are outpacing previous generation models. Yeah. So, and apparently the S8 set a pre-order record. So does it? So if the S8 did so well, I wonder how orders of the S9 are compared to the S7.
Yeah, you that's a mean? Really great question, actually. That makes a lot of sense. If the right. S8 was such an out, you know, blew everything else out of the water, is it fair to compare against that?
Yeah.
Or is it more fair to compare against generations before that were kind of more normal? I don't know.
I mean, but then also the S8 was coming after the whole Note debacle.
Yep.
Right.
And so people didn't get their notes.
A lot of expectation. And,
yeah. No, people didn't buy notes. People that were ready to get a new phone and they said, well, I don't want the Note. Fine, I'll get this S8 Plus.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard to make these comparisons. But I feel like 70% is like 30% down. Like, was the S8 30% up? You know what I mean? Like, it still seems like it's down. So
yep. And then we have an email from Tyler who says, while I don't have a problem with the air quotes notch per se, I'd like to point out that it isn't actually a notch. It would be more correct to say that the screen has grown ears, as the middle of the notch is where the screen has always been, and just the corners have been extended. Why are we basing the name on where the screen isn't instead of where it is? Interesting point.
You know what this is? I feel like Tyler is a glass half full guy, not a glass half empty.
I feel like Tyler's a Cheshire Cat just speaking to me in riddles, and I am Alice lost in this wonderland of notches.
I don't know. I understand where Tyler's coming from, and I've actually considered this myself as well, which is like, if you have the ability to add a little bit more display and you have to keep the components in that particular point, is it better to say, no, we can't put display up there because this is going to put a notch in it? Or is it better to say, well, we can put the display up there, we just have to make a little cutaway for the things that have to stay up there?
I'm okay with my bezels, so I'm the wrong demographic.
Yeah.
I like a good bezel.
I mean, I don't really care either way.
Who doesn't like a good bezel?
I'm fine with a notch. I'm fine without a notch. Whatever. But it's a good way to phrase the question, Tyler, and we appreciate
your
emails.
It is. Thank you.
AAA@twit.tv. If you want to be like Tyler next time.
Want to be like you.
Quick break, and then we'll get into the Android arena. We've got some awesome apps to show off, and I have not created a poll, but that's okay. I'll have plenty of time to do that, I hope. I'll just go ahead and get it started right now. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. National Small Business Month at LegalZoom is here. Whether you're just starting out or maybe you already have a business, there's a lot that you can take advantage of right now through LegalZoom. LegalZoom offers a whole host of things that are going to make your life easier if you're running a business or if you're starting up a business. Just go to LegalZoom.com/startup during March and you can download your free business startup kit. You'll get a ton of great information. For example, you can find out how to maximize your business deductibles under the new tax laws. The new tax laws are pretty complicated, and you need to take some time and analyze how that applies to your business. LegalZoom can help you there, help educate you. Plus, you'll get great discounts. Your kit includes special deals from LegalZoom, along with offers from their service partners, so you can save a bunch of money. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they know that you need to tap into the right resources to run a successful business. And that's why their business startup kit exists. That's what it's all about. Go to LegalZoom.com/startup and you can download your free business startup kit today. Hopefully that'll arm you with some information to make your startup, make your new business, your idea even better, even more successful as you go along. That's LegalZoom.com/startup. There's no obligation, just free business resources. This offer is only available in March. So if you're listening after then, you can still enjoy special savings by using our code. That's AAA when you check out at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. And we thank LegalZoom for their support. And with that, it's time to take a detour into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
And the Android Arena poll last week was twit.to/AAApoll359. Going to it. Hey, not bad. Sleep as Android.
Hey, good for you.
Yay.
Yay.
I mean, I love that app. The more I use it, the more I love it. 50% of the votes for Sleep as Android. Second place. Text2.
Good app. I downloaded it.
Text2. Ron, was that yours?
Yeah.
It was yours.
Yeah. Congratulations on that, 28%.
I'll take it.
Stylish Text. That was Flo's app at 13%.
Yeah.
That's
thanks,
all right.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, you got third.
For the pity.
Thrive for Samsung, fourth place at 9%. I think there was also a little bit of difficulty for people trying to get to the Thrive app.
It was a little confusing, so I apologize about that. So what that does to the scores, to the standings, are after 10 weeks of all been Android, the tie was broken. You might remember all three of us were tied. Guests are still in first place with 30 points. So guests are still solid. They're not here tonight, though, so they're not getting this week's points.
Uh-huh.
Jason, you broke out into second with 24 points. I'm in third with 22. And Flo, you're right behind me with 21.
I'm still behind.
Anyone's ball game, but yet none of us will be able to dethrone guests this week, because even if we get a win, we won't have enough points. So, but we can climb back out of the basement. So.
That's right. It's all over the place.
So I think that means that Flo goes first.
I think so.
She's the loser.
All right, cool. That'll give me time to set up the poll. I will put you.
I'm just
up
setting
at the
up
top.
My app, actually.
I'm going to eat an Oreo while this goes on.
Yes.
I'm going to eat a Choco Brownie Oreo, and you can find out what we thought of these by stay tuned to the end of the show to listen to the pre-show, which is at the end of the show on the recorded version.
We know it's confusing, but trust us. All right, Flo, go.
So this app is called Paint2D. It is a free app, but I paid the $2.99 for it because support your devs, and also because I don't want to see any ads. Not into it. So it really just exists for complete nostalgia purposes. So as you could see, this is a very, 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 very simple paint app. So what you could do is, you can load, let's see. Actually, Victor, give me 1 second to load something off screen over here. So if you remember Paint of the Microsoft, I guess Paint is still around, what am I talking
about?
But you remember.
But I mean, many people
like.
Have never used it again because it's
true. It's like the hardest thing ever. So
can I interject here? I actually had to, not discipline, but I had to come down on someone at work because they were using MS Paint for like actual production things. I was like, No, we're not using MS Paint. No.
But some people are really good at using it.
They are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But nope. Sorry. Nope.
That's not good enough for Ron.
Well, if you're one of those people who's really good at using it, oh my gosh, why can't I load an image? I'm not going to load an image. I'm just going to show you how this works. So Paint2D is essentially painting on your phone the way that you would have painted long ago. You use both fingers to basically paint your way through your own masterpiece. You can load.
It is a masterpiece.
I know, it's just a shape. I'm not the best at these demos because I'm not very good at showing you what can be done, which is unfortunate. But because this is not showing up the way it did when I was using it later, and I'm not sure why.
Don't you love that? I love the retro quality of the menus and stuff.
Yeah, I only downloaded it because it looked retro. I don't really know what's going on. All I know is that
is that a Commodore 64?
I'm going to load an image of some Peeps Oreos.
Uh-huh. Hey, spoilers.
As you do.
Spoilers.
As you do.
Spoilers.
Oh.
Oh, it's...
No, this was sent to me. This was in my Allo folder.
Oh, okay.
And I sent
that to you.
Oh, maybe you did, actually.
I did. I absolutely did.
Sorry. So let's say I want to flood fill. All right. I want to make this what? White? Of course we want to make this white. Or no, let's make it yellow. So... Come on, flood fill. There you go.
There you go.
Now it's working.
Oh,
exactly.
Like beautiful.
You in the past.
It's as if flood that fill. Green splotch was
fill
back there
triangle.
All along.
Oh, yeah. That's,
there you go.
There's a fill there triangle. I'm not selling this to you guys, am I?
I like the menu system.
I like the menu system, too.
Oh, that's a nice star.
Yeah. Look at that nice little star. You can do... It has all these like weird sort of... I want to actually X out of that. This is how you zoom out. There you go. Undo. Has all these weird like little... like now... So I sketched this. So now you can color it in if you wanted to. So you would, you know, zoom in all the way. Look at that. Look at those pixels. So if you want to do pixel art on the go...
Yeah, you totally could.
This is exactly what you would do. You would just go and you would use the... Let's see. Where's the pen? Okay, and you use the pen and you would go in there. And that's why I was having a hard time showing it to you because the pen was so small. It was one pixel wide. So that's why. You can do things like pasting and cropping and get it, like setting the color is super easy. Look at that. Ooh. I made everything yellow. So now when we zoom out, la la la, there's Oreo in yellow.
See, you just did that.
I just did that.
That's amazing.
There's color inversion that you can play around with. There's all these like weird, you know, your standard fun, whatever you want to do. 3D Paint 2D Pro.
I like it,
Flo. Support your devs. And you can save everything on here. You can edit photos that exist. It's just you might have to do a little work with actually using it.
I have a little patience.
Learning curve.
Yeah, let's say there's a learning curve.
Yes.
Which is not a bad thing because within that learning curve, there is much power.
Precisely. To make pixel characters if you want.
Once you become a pro at Paint 2D Pro,
I think
you have power.
This would be more fun on a tablet. I should have brought the tablet to show
it. Oh, yeah, with like a stylus or something.
I haven't used that in
that would be
years.
Nice. Paint 2D Pro. Good
or
work.
Regular 2D, which is free. You don't have to pay $2.99.
Oh, okay. Let's check it out. See what you think. All right, Ron, I have yours installed, and I think I've set it up too, so
cool.
I think we're good.
Yeah, so basically, it's been a while. As longtime viewers or listeners of the show know that I'm very much into productivity apps and to-do apps and things like that. But I haven't revisited the topic in a while because I feel like it's kind of been done. You know, Todoist is out there. Wunderlist was there, then went away. There's some great apps. But then I came across this app called Nirvana. It's called Nirvana, and it is a to-do productivity app that is specifically built around the productivity school of thought called GTD, or getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
And why I thought this was interesting is because if you're aware of getting things done, and I highly recommend if you're into productivity or if you're into ways to work better, to get the book Getting Things Done by David Allen and read it. It is quite literally a life changer. But if you read that book and you subscribe to the GTD method, you'll find that other to-do apps have been fine because they help you keep track of things and do stuff like that. But you always have to factor in GTD into the to-do apps. This is finally a to-do app that factors GTD into the general way it all works. So it's a really nice app. Of course, as you can see here, Jason demoing it, it's, you know, it's got the lovely material design as well as the, well as little kind of soft touches here and there. You can set up tasks. You can, you know, you can give it a title, you can give it a tag, you can give a little, description. You can give it a reminder, set a due date. What I also like about Nirvana is it allows you to assign an energy level to it, because that's a big thing as well. How much energy you're going to need to do it. You know, that's a kind of somewhat new factor within, you know, productivity, mm-hmm. getting things done. If I can hammer through 10 low energy things as opposed to one high energy thing, that, you know, like it's making those decisions and balancing it. So it's really, really cool. If you go back to the main view away from the details of an individual task and you tap the hamburger menu in the upper left-hand corner, you could see that much like the GTD method, you have at the very top capture and your inbox. And this is where you capture the things you need to do. You're going to say, okay, you know, so right now it's empty. I need to read that book, right? I need to fix the whatever. I need to recode that process. I need, you know, you can do a whole bunch of things. You dump them all into your inbox, and then what you can then do is you can, I like you keep it up with all my tasks, right? You can then, if you go to the menu, to the hamburger menu, you can see then you can categorize things as what I'm going to do absolutely next, what I'm waiting to do, what's scheduled to do. That's in terms of the scheduling aspect of the tasks. But then if you go back to the menu, there's an area called prioritize, and there you can see focus. And focus allows you to say, if you tap right there in the middle, focus. So anything that was starred in the app is the things that you're focusing on. So, for example, in my day-to-day at work, I've got a task list that's about 30 tasks long, but today I'm only going to focus on these three things, and these are the things I'm going to stay focused on, and I'm going to delay the other ones as needed through the scheduling or whatnot. And then finally on the menu, you can organize your projects by hitting the little projects folder. And you can start, you know, when you get the app, they start you with a project called Brush Up on GTD, right? But you can start a new project. We can say, you know, Android dev or whatever you want to call it, things to do, right? And so as you create tasks in your inbox, you can drop them into projects. It really works great. It's fantastic. Nirvana also has a web version that you can log in, and it syncs to everything. So anything you do in the app syncs to the web version. So if you're at work and you don't want to be on your phone, you can pop over to a web browser and see it there. So Nirvana for GTD, this is a great productivity to-do app. If you subscribe to Getting Things Done, this is like your dream app. So there you go.
Sorry, I have to move these into the things.
That's fair. Yeah, no,
Ron
that's
it. Said.
I get it.
Where did I get that to that?
Yeah, there it is, down at the bottom.
Projects. Things Ron said now has two tasks in it. Read that book and code that thing.
And I'm going to focus on reading that book today. So, yeah, there it is.
All right. And then when you're done, you just go, read that book. Reading that book was as easy as reading.
And what's
book.
Cool now is if you pop over, go back one more and go to the menu, and then scroll down to the very bottom, cleanup. This is the best thing ever. You just say cleanup logbook. And it will take the completed task and just kind of wipe it away. Right. So if you go back to the things Ron said, right?
Collect completed items.
Collect it. Yep. Collect it.
Collect.
And move, read that book into your logbook. So you can keep track of what I did, but it'll take it out of the project and put it into your logbook so you can go back and revisit it. So
completed today, March 13th. Yep. Awesome.
Cool.
Love it. Nirvana for GTD.
And it's free.
Registered trademark.
GTD is a registered, is copyrighted. So
yeah.
Mr. David Allen, I had the pleasure of interviewing him once a few years ago, and he was delightful. So, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Okay. So that's Paint 2B Pro and Nirvana for GTD. So I went somewhere yesterday. I went to the World's Fair Nano here in, not here, actually down in San Francisco, near the ballpark. And it was just kind of a big event with a bunch of future looking things and future food and future transportation and all that kind of stuff. And I discovered an app while I was there, and I couldn't remember if we've ever had it on the show or not, but it was interesting to see it. It was called iJack, and basically it's an augmented reality meets art sort of presentation. So what they had there is they had this big wall with a bunch of framed art pictures, and the art in and of itself was pretty cool to look out on the wall. then once you had the iJack app running, you could hold up the iJack app view to the art, and it would turn and it would animate the art and like make the art come to life, basically. So I'm going to go ahead and show it off here. I know Victor is actually showing some promo stuff. They have some of this stuff shown off on their Instagram page. I'm going to see if this works here. So I went to their Instagram page. I don't know if you can see this through the preview, Victor. And they have some of the art that's actually accessible through the iJack app. So we'll see if this actually works. I'm going to go to the frame. This is all from a book. So they have an art book that you can get. And then, you know, you use your app and point it at the art book. So I'll go ahead and launch AR, and it does the pass-through camera. And then when I do it over the top, oh, hey, something's animating. Hold on, let me turn it on.
I hear it. Oh, nice.
All right, we'll go ahead and switch to a different one.
That's cool.
And it was really cool because you could go to this wall of all this framed artwork, and then you hold this up and it would transform in front of you and do weird, cool things.
It's not creepy at all.
Not at all. Or is it? Let's see here. I got a few more.
Oh, that's
a... When you take it out, it's normal. You can kind of see the picture, right? And then you put it in and... It kind of puts it to life. A lot of really kind of like psychedelic infused imagery and stuff. There was a heavy Burning Man vibe at the World's Fair Nano in many different ways.
I mean,
that one's cool. I saw that one while I was there, and it was just kind of neat. She's filling up.
Yeah, but show what the regular one is. It's just...
And a few more. So, and basically they have a whole art book just filled with this stuff. So you can just sit there and...
Oh, my.
And then finally, oh, this one was really cool. People climbing out of the guy's mouth and eyes and everything. Anyways, it's a lot of fun to mess around
with. That's cool. That's really cool.
I think the challenge with this app is that, you know, you gotta have access to the art. And, you know, you gotta find the book. If you go to their Instagram, you can see some of the art and you can kind of get a taste for it. But it's really something different when you actually have the tangible book in front of you and you're using it. It makes for a really cool kind of interactive experience. And then if you go ahead and cut, oh, actually, yeah, that's pretty cool too. It just like brings it to life. It's like true AR, right? Like, it's the promise of AR is augmenting our reality and giving it some new different direction and a new different spin.
$5 says this is going to be the new thing museums do.
Well, yeah, so check it out.
I'm artist in here who can
happy
do.
You said that. Because if you go to this other space, there's actually different locations where there is art installed.
Where's that one?
If you go to those locations, where is that? It's teamed up with Star Wars with 10 key Australian artists, designers. Collaboration will coincide at a pop-up gallery running for 2 months in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, that's too far.
And so if you go to these places, yes, it is Melbourne.
Melbourne.
If you go there and you have this app and you launch the app, you get not only do you get the awesome art that's on the wall, but you get this interactive experience with it too. And it's got all this, you know, all these different locations where this art exists. And I just think it's a really cool kind of different kind of way to experience art. So it's called iJack. And I don't know. I recommend if you happen to be in an area that has one of these art installations, go check it out. Bring the app and let us know what you think.
I want you to feel my existential pain. Hold your smartphone up for a quick second.
Yeah, maybe there's
and
a little bit of a
screeching.
Kind of like that skull that I showed off a few seconds ago. So there you go. It's called iJack, and it's a pretty interesting experience. So this week's poll can be found at twit.to/AAApoll360. twit.to/AAApoll360. Vote for your favorite. Is it Paint 2D Pro? Is it Nirvana for GTD? Or is it iJack? Place your vote and we'll check in on it next week. Victor's hovering and iJack is the vote.
Wow.
Although, should be noted, Nirvana for GTD is first right now.
Whereas I'm in 0%, but that's okay.
It'll change.
I'm a winner on the inside.
It can always change. You never know where it's going to go. And I think that's about it. I think we've reached the end of this episode of All About Android.
But we did.
Not the end of everything. Because there's more next week.
Yeah. Whew, thank God.
Although it's the end of me on this show for the next couple of weeks. I'm out next week. And the week after, I'll be in Florida vacationing.
And I'll be vacationing.
And then you'll be off the following week when I get back. So
I'm gonna have to just keep this show afloat, aren't I?
Thank you, Ron, for all that you do. Where can people find you while you're keeping things afloat?
You could find me chained to this desk, keeping this show afloat. No, you can go to Twitter or Instagram. I'm RonXO there. And that's where I post my usual nonsense that I'm working on fun stuff that I can't talk about, but hopefully soon. I know I feel like I've been a tease for months, but I do have stuff happening. And so I just want to share it with everybody here at the right time. So just follow me at RonXO and that's where you can find it.
I can't wait till you can share exciting news.
I know. I've got multiple things.
It's fun. It's fun to hear.
So you got to keep them. You got to keep them in the oven. You got to keep the oven set to 350. Let it bake. Give it time. You don't want to take it out too early.
Let it rise. The chocolate melts just a little bit. Yeah,
a little bit.
We're talking about cookies, right?
When it's like dinner time.
By the way, I would like to note that PacNW in the chat room has a very good idea that when you guys are out, I should just do the show without a guest, and that way I can guarantee an arena win.
That's one way to do it.
I don't know if I'm into that idea.
That's one way to do it. Now we need to factor in like a sliding scale for when there are less hosts.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's already too complicated. Let's completely keep it simple.
Yeah, Wade County was just sweating bullets there for a second. Like, no. What about you? What will you be eating tonight for dinner?
I have no idea. I think I'm eating actually chicken tetrazzini. That's what we have on our Blue Apron, probably.
Okay.
But hey, if you're still seeing empty boxes on your Android device and you don't have 8.0, it's probably because you don't have Emoji Compat. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go to Emojipedia's blog. I wrote about a little update on Emoji Compat in Android, which is actually a part of, if I'm not mistaken, and feel free to correct me, is part of the Android 8.0 APIs.
I believe so.
So basically, it allows for app developers to pull in from the emoji library that Google sets out so that you always have the latest emoji. However, it turns out after much extensive testing that it's not on every... It's still not like a widely available thing. Only a couple of apps use them. So if you're interested, head over to Emojipedia. I'm still writing about emojis and it's a lot of fun.
I want to comment that we live in a world where you're getting paid to write about emojis, but I think that's great. I don't mean that to be negative. I think it's awesome. So.
No, it is. Well, and we're also, you know, looking at, because a lot, there's,
sure. No,
I draw a lot of parallels from the emoji on Android to fragmentation on Android, because, you know, this is one of those things that Android's, Google's trying to use to sort of take away the pain of the fragmentation that has befallen this beautiful platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but
I can safely say I haven't really seen many of those Xbox things,
because you're on 8.
I guess so.
That's
awesome.
But there's if you're on
the majority of people are not. Yeah. But let me tell you, from my perspective, it's really nice over here. When you guys get over here, you won't see those boxes with X's anymore, and you'll know what we're talking about.
I can't stand them.
Yeah,
you get the box and the gender.
Oh yeah,
symbol and then the emoji. It's like, oh god.
Yep. Victor, thank you very much for your service this evening.
Yes, thank you, Victor.
Each and every evening, and we appreciate all that you do. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com. By the way, just sent off for the CDs to be made for the Kickstarter. So if you pitch it on the Kickstarter, like literally while I'm gone, they could send out to everybody.
Hey, that would be amazing.
I know. That'd be cool.
To come back to.
Yeah, totally. To have that kind of checked off, because it's been weighing heavily on me that I don't have those sent out. So anyways, that'll go out. And then eventually down the line, it'll be released for everyone else that wasn't part of the Kickstarter. The album, yellowgoldmusic.com. More information will be posted there. Twit.tv/survey. If you want to tell us how we're doing here at Twit, just go there. Fill in as much or as little as you want to. Just keep us posted on the things you like that we're doing. Maybe there's something that we could be doing that you can contribute some information, some ideas. All that stuff helps us to create a better show for you. And we really appreciate anything that you can do along those lines to inform us of that. But that's it for this week. Voicemails can be left. Thank you, phone. At 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv like that one person just did. Twitter at Android Show. You can find our Arena apps list at twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at our one place, the main place where you're going to find all this information on the web. And that's twit.tv/AAA. There we are.
Look at my big dumb face looking right in the camera.
I love that picture because it's so random.
We're
all in a different mental space at that particular moment.
So bizarre.
It is so bizarre. Ron.
You're looking. Ron's direct at the camera. I'm seething. And Flo
is posing
somewhere
else.
Satisfied. Or, yes. It's a great picture. I love it. You can watch the show live, actually in person live, like Michael, who is here
watching.
And thank you for stopping by.
Out with us. Not a lot of people stick it out the entire show. So
tickets at twit.tv if you want to be like Michael and come watch us live in the studio. But you'll probably
like
Mike. If you could be like Mike, all you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv. But what you're probably going to do is watch us live on the web. And that's every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week's episode. We'll see y'all next week on another episode, or at least they will, of All About Android. Bye, everybody. Hope you enjoy your Android pee.
Are we doing the
thing
first?
I think we are doing the thing first. And in fact, Ron, are you ready to do the thing first?
I am ready to do the thing.
Because
look at this for the first time.
It's coordinated thing doing.
Coordinated thing doing. Very exciting.
What is that Oreo flavor that you have over there on the other side of the country, Ron?
It's a new flavor, as they say.
Flavor.
It is Choco Brownie Oreos, available in the slimline packaging like Jason has right there. So
yeah, I'm trying to figure out. So I believe this is a Mateo import.
Oh.
Can you rotate to the back of it?
It says flavor.
One more rotation. Hashtag Oreo flavors.
Flavors. Oreo flavors. We are still well within the range of expiration, so that's good. This is printed in many different languages, by the way, ingredients list. Choco brownie flavor, and with American flags and the stars. Yet I've never seen these in the United States, so who knows?
And we sure don't spell flavor that way. So.
That's true. That's a dead giveaway right there. So Choco brownie flavor.
All right, let's see.
We'll open it up and
I've got mine ready to go.
Do a taste
test. I love that I can participate here. I'm very excited.
Is this the first coordinated all of us at the same time?
Coordinated.
I don't think we've ever been coordinated. I've had flavors on my own, but we've never been coordinated. Normally I'm talking. Oh, hand. Get that hand away. All right. shall we try it?
I think we should definitely try it. Choco brownie flavor. Flavorio, I believe, is what they call it. All right, here we go.
This is a lot of chocolate.
I wondered if this might be the case. What's the difference between a chocolate Oreo and a chocolate brownie Oreo?
A brownie has a more quality. Lingering flavor at the end.
And it almost has a salty flavor.
Listen, it hopped continents. What more do you want? So it's a little dry.
I mean, this is pretty darn good. I got to say, I'm a big fan of this flavor.
This is delicioso.
Yeah, this is really good. What do you think, Ron?
This is pretty good. I mean, it is chocolatey, so you're prepared for that. You'll need some sort of beverage to wipe all the chocolate bits from your teeth. But it's like a chocolate Oreo.
Nothing washes down an Oreo cookie quite like water.
Or ginger and green tea with hot pepper kombucha.
Or iced tea.
None of us with milk, which is probably the best way to wash down an Oreo.
Hey, we're all lactose intolerant. My milk is lactose free at home.
right?
Almond milk.
Yeah. Okay. So number
ratings.
I'd score that one pretty high, and I'm happy the package came back to me because I might get hungry today.
Chocolate. I'm gonna have another one.
What?
Chocolate cookie to our guests.
Mm. Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Would you like a cookie?
I had one.
Did you get one?
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Right. Well, if you'd like another one, you're welcome.
I was paying attention to the chat. Sorry.
Yeah, everybody's hands have been in that bag. That's
a
good thing.
I totally just mommed you. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm just happy everybody got one. I'd score pretty highly. I'd have to say it's close to a nine.
Yeah, that was delicious.
That's pretty awesome.
But I love chocolate. Like, I am a chocolate on chocolate.
You're a chocoholic.
My favorite cake is like the Debbie's, you know, the chocolate on chocolate. Like, I'm.
Yeah.
Just give it to me all chocolate. I love chocolate. I have it every single day. Almost ever after every meal. It's probably bad.
You know what's unfair? Ron gets a whole one of these.
It's true. We have to share.
We have to share.
Ha ha. Well, I'll point out to you that I recently had an influx of Oreos. Part of this, I've got some. I got some. You guys sent me
an Oreo
Jason,
care
thank you very
package.
Much. Sent me an Oreo care package. I got the Cadbury mini Oreos.
Oh yes, those are good.
They're so good. I'm saving those.
There are two people that live in this house, and one of them is not very happy by this influx of Oreos. So I will be taking this open container of Choco Brownie and bringing it to work tomorrow to share with my coworkers.
All right.
So it will be gone, so don't worry about it.
I mean, I understand. It's a temptation.
It is a temptation.
A Choco Brownie Oreo is around. It's hard to resist.
I have to give it an 8.
Okay.
Okay. 8. I'd say that's a respectable score for that. Yeah. 9. I could have gone between an 8 and a 9.
But I'm a chocolate.
I would eat that without hesitation. So I think that probably puts
it in the 9
category.
I have a slight bias towards chocolate. And I'm saying it here now, America. I have a bias towards chocolate.
Have you ever been to Cold Stone Creamery?
I don't let. Yeah. All my friends worked there in high school. So I have quite a relationship with Cold Stone.
And I had never heard of it until like a couple of years ago.
It opened when I was in high school.
I love how they take the ice cream, they put it on the thing, and then they take like cookies, put it there, and just start mashing it all together.
Have you done that
at
home?
This would be really good mashed in ice cream.
Is that where they sing? Do they still sing
there?
No,
that's when you tip them.
Yeah, no,
sing.
I remember I went to Cold Stone right when it opened, and it was a cacophony, and it was very loud and singing, and we never went again.
So, I'm not going there.
Yep,
I'm too old for this. I didn't know that they sang.
Yeah.
That's news to me.